Welcome to Brain Lady Speaks with Julie Anderson on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. Julie Brain Lady Anderson is considered to be one of the nation's top experts on the brain-personality connection. She has been inspiring her audiences to fire up their brains and ignite positive changes in their relationships. And now she is here to bring that knowledge to you. The information she shares will help those who hear it to accelerate their success in life and business through the discovery of their natural gifts and maximizing their brain power. When you learn to tap into the potential of your natural gifts and the power of the brain-mind connection, there is no limit to what you can accomplish. Today and every Wednesday on Brain Lady Speaks, you'll explore the latest findings to see how they have practical application in your life. And now, get ready to join Julie Anderson on Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. Take it away, Julie.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And it is a lovely little bit toasty morning here on June the 8th, Wednesday, June the 8th, 2016. I am Julie Brain Lady Anderson, and you are on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Lessons in Joyful Living Network. I have such a fun, incredibly information-packed show today. But before we get to the show discussing the teen brain, a lot to discuss there, believe it or not. Even though sometimes you think there's not much going on, there's tons of stuff going on in that brain. I want to encourage everyone, first thank everyone for taking the time to listen to the show today. You know, I fully understand and appreciate how incredibly busy everyone's life is. Everybody just has so much going on. And I know that a lot of people are listening to this via their mobile office as they're driving from one place to another. And I feel honored that you are listening and tuning in because I appreciate your time. And I endeavor and will promise to try to bring you as much value as I possibly can within our time together. I also want to really want to interact more with my listeners. When you listen to this show, even if you're not listening to it right this moment live, when you are listening to this show, I always give you my contact information. You can reach me at my emails through info@yourbestmindonline.com. That's my parent company and my parent website. Or you can email me at info@brainladyspeaker.com. And give me feedback. Talk to me. Tell me what you're thinking about the show. Give me your thoughts in terms of ideas. You know, we've going into our sixth month here, and we've had a lot of shows. You've gotten a feel of, if you've listened to them, of the information and the type of guests that I have and what I try to talk about. If you have someone that you would love to see interviewed, I don't care who they are. I don't care if they're someone you don't even personally know. You just know them as an internet personality and you want me to try to get them on the show, by golly, I will give it a shot. So reach out to me, talk to me, let me know, give me your feedback, give me your ideas. I would love to connect with you more. Also, connect with me on all the social media platforms. I give a lot of good content there as well. You can follow me, the Purple Brain Lady, on Facebook. So look up Facebook, Purple Brain Lady, and that is my public page there for Julie Brain Lady Anderson. I am Brain Lady on Twitter. I am Brain Lady on LinkedIn. I also am Brain Lady I think it's Brain Lady Julie now on Instagram. So reach out, connect with me. I'd love to stay connected with the audience out there and get your input and get your influence on the show. So I wanted to be sure that I tell you that. And so to the topic for today, I am so fascinated with what we've been talking about. And of course, you know, I'm fascinated with the brain. And last week we did kind of that, what happens in the developing brain, literally from conception, right up until you're preteen. And there's so much information to share. And I just touched on the surface of it. And when we understand, the key is the whole reason why I love bringing all this fascinating neuroscience to the public and sharing it with individuals is because there is such a practical application of it. When we understand the reason why, when we know why someone is acting the way they are acting, it helps us to deal with them better. It helps us to communicate with them better, and it gives us greater understanding of them and therefore improves our relationship. And what relationship out there is more important than the relationship a parent has with a child? And the power and gift and ability that we have as parents. I'm the parent of three amazing adult grown boys. They are now 23, 26, and 28. Very successful adults. Love them all dearly. But the greatest power that we have as parents is the very positive influence that we can have over our children in fostering and helping them grow and be connected and appreciate and proudly step into their own natural gifts and brain personality connection. And when we know and we understand what's going on in their brains, it helps us to help them more. And it reduces our frustration and makes us feel more equipped to do a better job of parenting. So that is, the information is just mind-blowing to me, but the practical application of this information is off the charts in terms of importance. It is off the charts in terms of how beneficial it can be for us as parents. So that's the reason why, that's the emotion behind bringing this information out. And as I said last week, if you didn't get a chance to listen to last week's and you have a child that's, you know, you're pregnant, you're expecting a child, or you have one in the, say, under 10 to 12 age, under that prepubescent age, then go back and listen to the show last week. And if you have questions, send me questions. You know, ask the questions. I will, someone on my team or myself, if I can, will try to get back with you ASAP with an answer to the questions. And that will help you to understand what's going on and how to foster that developing brain at that age. But now we're getting into that very interesting, fun, crazy, emotional, chaotic, tumultuous time of life of the teen years, the adolescence. And when I have had conversations with friends or individuals about what age is my favorite age for a child. You know, a lot of people like the, you know, they like the babies, they like the newborns, or they like the toddlers, or, you know, they like the little kids when they're 5 or 6 years old and their personality is really starting to blossom, or they're really starting to communicate. Well, I tell people my favorite age is the teen years. I love it. I love it because it is such an amazing time in their lives as they are really starting to find out who they are. And I am just tickled pink to be covering this topic today. So in a quick review, we're going to be talking about adolescence. And this is probably one of the most misunderstood times in anyone's life, right? It is very important for parents and counselors to take into consideration what's going on in the brain of the teen or the adolescent as they're going through this puberty time, really from age of, you know, 10, 11 years old, depending on the genetic code, the genetic makeup when they start to hit that puberty. It can be a little earlier for some, a little later for others, but it could be as early as 10 or 11 years, all the way up until the early 20s. Early 20s, and we're going to talk about why it takes this length of time for all the amazing things to take place in the brain. But when we understand what's happening in this, there are just so many actions and personality changes that take place during this time, and it can create a large amount of frustration. So when you consider these complex changes and you understand them, understand what's taking place in that brain, it makes so much more sense, and it allows you to be the adult in the situation. It allows you to bring your intellect in and utilize the portions of your brain that are already developed to help their developing brain. David Walsh wrote a really good book. let me get the exact title of the book. Why Do They Act That Way? David Walsh. he did, or it might have just been a white paper. He did, he's done a lot of research on the teen brain. And this is a quote from him. He said, "We still can't explain everything, but thanks to the latest discoveries in neuroscience, we can explain adolescence better than ever before. The findings of the brain research help us understand adolescent behavior." So that's what we're going to be talking about today. So we're going to be talking about some of these, you know, these things that are taking place in the adolescent brain. And before we go to break, I want to remind everyone, we had talked last week about the prefrontal cortex. And the prefrontal cortex is this incredibly critical part of the brain. It is responsible for reasoning. It is responsible. It's kind of considered to be the executive center in the brain. It's the portion of the brain that's responsible for thinking ahead to the consequences of one's actions and to controlling what could sometimes be out of line impulses that may spring up from other portions of the brain. So it's responsible for reasoning, for judgment, for inhibiting emotions or managing emotions, for controlling the impulses, planning, rational thinking, problem solving, decision making, understanding those consequences of the actions, understanding of other people, processing irony, processing those things in life that are more difficult to understand, and then processing information that is coming in, being flooded in from the senses. This prefrontal cortex is like the decoder of all of this information. And it then connects it and helps us to reason and to think straight. The problem is, the situation is, this portion of the brain is not fully connected until you're somewhere around the age of 23. Now think about that. That means that everybody is not connected until they're in their 20s. So for these teens, it's a mess, and it's even complicated even more so by other portions of the brain that are still in the process of being developed. So we're going to talk more about those different portions of the brain and connect all of those dots for you parents when we come back after break on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show.
With her thorough understanding of brain chemistry, Julie Anderson provides you with tools and processes that will change your life in a positive way. Julie uniquely blends science and psychology when she shares her knowledge and information with businesses, entrepreneurs, women's groups, and families to improve workplace morale and productivity, parents creating dynamic relationships with their children, and women achieving more in life and business. Julie Anderson will be right back with Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network.
Have you heard? The pages of American Patchwork and Quilting magazine come to life on our new weekly online radio show, American Patchwork and Quilting. Join Pat Sloan, our blogging and quilt designer host, as she talks about the latest trends, ideas, and inspirations. Her guests include quilt pattern designers, authors, quilt shop owners, and our editors. All quilters, just like you. Call in with your questions. Get quilting tips from industry experts. Learn about free patterns. Hear behind-the-scenes stories from our magazines, American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilt Sampler, and Quilts and More. Get the scoop on free stuff and find out more about the best independent quilt shops in North America. To listen to a live show, tune in Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern. Just log on to allpeoplequilt.com/radio. To hear past shows, go to iTunes and search for American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We hope you'll join us because we know that quilting changes everything.
Welcome back to Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. By including the latest scientific research on the brain-personality connection, Julie Brain Lady Anderson provides her clients with the all-important why behind what people do and how they think. The information she shares will help those who hear to accelerate their success in life and business through the discovery of their natural gifts and maximizing their brain power. Here again is your host, Julie Anderson, with Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network.
Welcome back. Okay. So now that you just had your anatomy lesson on the prefrontal cortex of the brain and what takes place there, let's continue on and understand, take into consideration and truly understand that without these very critical functions in this portion of the brain up and running at full speed, children and teenagers are simply not capable of processing information the same as an adult. Okay, and that is one of the reasons why we have to be the adult in the situation at all times. At all times. We can't ever look at our children or our adolescents, especially our adolescents, because here's what happens. When they hit the teens, especially the mid to late teens, they begin to look like an adult. And sometimes they even act like an adult. And we're so proud of them. Look at what a nice young adult my child is becoming. But guess what? They're not an adult. Their brain is not running at full speed. Their elevator literally is not reaching the top floor, so to speak. So when we look at them and we respond to them and we try to interact with them as if they were adults, we are expecting too much out of their brain because it's just not completely there. So many of the functions that take place in that portion of the brain are so critical, and we expect them to be doing these things, but they physically can't. Without all of the critical functions of the prefrontal cortex, or PFC, as I'll refer to for the rest of the show, in place and active, it means that children and teens are going to be more driven by emotion because they don't have the filter up and running that's going to help them to process that emotion. They're going to act and react in ways that are highly emotional and lack logic. They can grow up to be the most logical adult, but in this stage of their life, they may lack a logic because the PFC is not developed. And this is going to greatly affect, like I said, the way that we reason with them. If we are showing our frustration and anger to them, it's only going to complicate matters worse because they're going to have problems processing what it is that we're giving them, what it is that we're telling them, because their PFC isn't in check yet, and we're acting like it is, and it's just going to confuse it. I'm going to talk about some interesting things about emotions and the way that teens read emotions. They're just not going to get it. So we need to be really keep this top of mind when we're dealing with any particular emotional situation with our kids, with our teenagers. Okay, so as this puberty sets in, we know that the PFC, I've talked about that. We know that the PFC isn't up and running, but there's additional changes that start to take place that even complicate things more. So last week I talked about how the brain is growing at massive rates. It's making all of these neural connections, and the cells are just growing tremendously. And that peaks around the age of 11 or 12. But then I talked about pruning. I talked about a time when now some things are getting pruned out. So just as children are hitting puberty, the prefrontal cortex is rapidly producing dendrites. And then when that peak ends, that pruning begins. And the pruning is going to continue throughout adolescence. So this PFC, this prefrontal cortex, is continuing to change during this time. And we're going to notice it, you know, we haven't even talked about the effect that hormones has on the brain yet, right? We're just still talking about the brain anatomy itself and what's going on in the growth and the pruning of these neural connections. You're also going to need to take into consideration myelination, okay? Myelination is what covers, it's this white fatty substance that covers and protects these neurons. All these neurons that are rapidly growing up until this point, they're not completely covered. So think of it just like an electrical wire. You have the electrical wire that's actually the metal portion of it that's conducting the electrical, you know, the electrical circuit, and it is covered with something that prevents it from touching other parts of metal that are going to make it short out, right? It's the exact same situation in the brain. The neurons, the axons, are not completely myelinated, and therefore they can receive this electrical interference from other cells. Other cells that maybe don't have their myelin sheath completed either. So basically, you can have short circuiting that takes place in the brain, and this is a time when a lot of those short circuitings take place. And I'm sure you've looked at your child from time to time. If you have a teenager, you can probably quote at any point in time half a dozen times when you looked at them and you were like, something is short circuiting in their brain. You could almost smell the smoke, right? Well, this is what's going on. So now, in addition to this myelination not being completely done, the messages travel slower. Not only does this lack of myelination cause short circuiting when they touch these other neurons, the messages also travel slower in cells that are not completely myelinated. Quite a bit slower, actually. In fact, the electrical charge will travel about 100 times faster on a myelinated neuron than one that doesn't have this protection. So you have not only the potential for short circuiting, but also a much slower messaging process. So their brain literally is working slower. Their neurons are communicating slower than it does once all of this myelination has taken place. So this kind of explains why sometimes you look at a teen and you ask them a question and it really takes them a long time to come up with the answer. Not only is there all of their wiring not in place, but all of their wiring is not completely myelinated, and therefore the messages are literally going slower. And this certain parts of the teen brain are actually, this myelination in certain parts of the teen brain may actually increase by 100% from the beginning of puberty through the end of puberty. So the activity in the prefrontal cortex and other portions of the adolescent's brain, needless to say, is really, really complicated. And side point, this is one of the reasons why teens need so much more sleep. You probably have, if you have a teenager, you may have experienced this. You have this sweet little baby that comes on board and they require a lot of sleep. And then as they become toddlers, they require less sleep. And then as active children, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old, man, they can just go. They have tons of energy and can go. And then all of a sudden, and they're not sleeping all that much, and then all of a sudden they hit the teen years and your teens want to go back to taking naps. You know, they can barely get through the day. You have a hard time getting them up in the morning, which we're going to talk about that when it comes to their brain cycle and the pineal gland and hormones and whatnot. But point of it is that the brain is growing at such massive amounts and going through so much work during the teen years, and the brain literally needs that sleep, that downtime to do this continued growing, as well as the body. You know, we know what the body goes through in the teen years. Okay, so another portion of the brain that we want to talk about is the corpus callosum. So the corpus callosum is the bridge between the left and right hemisphere of the brain. So it's the main pathway, the main road, the main bridge that information travels on, going from the left to the right hemisphere. Now, the right hemisphere is very closely connected to emotion. It's very closely connected to pictures and to that figurative or the picture type thinking. And the left side is where speech is at. The main speech center is in the front left portion of the brain. So in the teen brain, the corpus callosum is still under development during this period. And because this is this information bridge, if all of the lanes are not open, so to speak, going back and forth, it's going to be really hard for the adolescent to take information from the emotional side of the brain, the picture side of the brain, and send those messages over to the logical language center side of the brain. So not only are they going to have difficulty really truly expressing what they're feeling, what their actual emotions are, but they're also going to at times not, you know, they're going to talk in ways that we just don't understand. Like we don't get what they're saying because this logical side is not making sense because it's not factoring and communicating with the emotional side. So think about, we live here in Northern California and we're out at the Bay Area all the time. And for anybody who lives in California or who has visited San Francisco, they know about the Bay Bridge. And the Bay Bridge is like the main bridge that connects the, you know, the mainland, if you will, to the San Francisco little peninsula there. And to get into the city, pretty much everybody coming from inland is going to be taking the Bay Bridge. If that Bay Bridge on a good day, when every single lane is open and there's no accidents, it's still going to take you a little bit of time to get over that bridge because there's so many cars. Imagine what it's like in one of these bridge situations if you're down to one lane southbound or westbound and one lane eastbound. It's gonna be a mess. And that's what's going on in the corpus callosum because of the lack of development of the corpus callosum in the brain during this period of time. So it's going to be more difficult for the logical side of the brain that has that main language center in it to receive the messages from the emotional picture side of the brain because the pathways are not completely, those bridges are not completely developed. And one of the critical circuits that is, or one of the circuits that is critical for emotional regulation is also still being myelinated during this period of time. So this is very noticeable when you give children instructions that they're not necessarily going to care for. The instant reaction could be very highly emotional. It could be expressed with angers, tears, maybe nasty retorts. And I'm not saying that this is acceptable behavior. I'm just helping you to understand that what is going on in the brain at this point in time is going to help you to understand why they react the way they do and then respond as an adult. Remember, you don't want to get the emotion involved. You have to think, okay, their brain's not working, their bridge doesn't have enough paths, and I got to be the extra pathways for them. Okay, join me back. We're going to take a quick break. Join me back, and we'll talk about the amygdala in the brain of the teen.
With her thorough understanding of brain chemistry, Julie Anderson provides you with tools and processes that will change your life in a positive way. Julie uniquely blends science and psychology when she shares her knowledge and information with businesses, entrepreneurs, women's groups, and families to improve workplace morale and productivity, parents creating dynamic relationships with their children, and women achieving more in life and business. Julie Anderson will be right back with Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network.
Have you heard? The pages of American Patchwork and Quilting magazine come to life on our new weekly online radio show, American Patchwork and Quilting. Join Pat Sloan, our blogging and quilt designer host, as she talks about the latest trends, ideas, and inspirations. Her guests include quilt pattern designers, authors, quilt shop owners, and our editors. All quilters, just like you. Call in with your questions. Get quilting tips from industry experts. Learn about free patterns. Hear behind-the-scenes stories from our magazines, American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilt Sampler, and Quilts and More. Get the scoop on free stuff and find out more about the best independent quilt shops in North America. To listen to a live show, tune in Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern. Just log on to allpeoplequilt.com/radio. To hear past shows, go to iTunes and search for American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We hope you'll join us because we know that quilting changes everything.
If you're ready for a big change in your work, your career, your happiness, your life, it's time for the Million Dollar Mindset with Marla Tabaka. Monday afternoons at 2, 1 Central on TogiNet.com. Marla believes that with the right mindset, anything is possible. Join us as successful life coach Marla Tabaka inspires you and her clients to explore, discover, and live your dreams by developing what she calls the Million Dollar Mindset. Marla will inspire you to take action on your dreams and reveal secrets to success that will help you realize your own unique power. Tune into the Million Dollar Mindset for heartwarming stories with Marla Tabaka. Learn tips and tricks to building a successful business and unlock the secrets to creating a happier, more balanced life through abundant thinking and attraction. Power. For more information on the Million Dollar Mindset, go to our website, marlatabaka.com. That's MarlaTabaka.com. It's the Million Dollar Mindset with Marla Tabaka. Monday afternoons at 2, 1 p.m. Central on TogiNet.com.
Welcome back to Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. By including the latest scientific research on the brain-personality connection, Julie Brain Lady Anderson provides her clients with the all-important why behind what people do and how they think. The information she shares will help those who hear to accelerate their success in life and business through the discovery of their natural gifts and maximizing their brain power. Here again is your host, Julie Anderson, with Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. I hope you got a nice stretch there at the halfway point. We have given you a lot of information about the prefrontal cortex and the corpus callosum, the myelination issues, and of the teen brain. And now we're going to continue with the going into the amygdala in the brain of the teen. And how it is developing or not developing or not connecting, I should say. Okay, so another portion of the brain that's very different, acts very differently during the period of your life. And if you want to learn more about the amygdala, I should say, too, go back and listen to, I think it's the first couple of shows that I did in January. Go to either the show page or go to iTunes and download the Brain Lady Speaks show for the first couple of shows that we did in January, because I talk a lot about the amygdala and how the amygdala is responsible. It's a portion of the brain that's responsible for the fight or flight response and conserve withdrawal. It processes fear, arousal, aggression, the automated type instant responses that we have that take place in the emotion center of the brain. So get a good understanding of what the amygdala does. It's also the interactive center for emotions, emotional behavior, and motivation. And it's important to remember that this portion of the brain, or this, the amygdala is housed in the emotion portion of the brain. And the emotion portion of the brain thinks and processes about 80,000 times faster than the thinking brain. I want you to keep that in mind. I want you to let that sink in for a minute. 80,000 times faster. So that means that an emotion hits and gets processed in your subconscious much, much faster than your thinking brain, the cognitive portion of your brain can keep up. So now I want you to think about how it functions within the adolescent. Because the prefrontal cortex is not up to speed yet, the amygdala seems to jump in and work, or take over, if you will, when reading emotions, because the prefrontal cortex can't be doing it, so the amygdala takes over. There was a study that was conducted by Deborah Ugolin Todd. She's a researcher at McLean Hospital outside of Boston, and it revealed a lot of information about this developing brain of a teenager. And as she specifically was studying the difference between how an adult perceives emotions, an adult who has all the wiring finished in the brain, and how an adolescent perceives emotion, because it is different. The experiment had subjects look at a series of pictures of people's faces. Each of those pictures had a person expressing a different emotional state. Now, some of these emotions included anger, sadness, surprise, and fear. So lots of different emotions. Then the subjects were asked to identify the emotions of the people in the picture. Okay, seems like a fairly simple, fairly simple experiment with, you know, a fair amount of accuracy. For the adults were able to correctly label different emotional states in the photograph. However, it was completely different with the teenagers. And this is a powerful point that you need to know as a parent. When adolescents were asked to label the emotion of each photograph, they oftentimes would misread fear or surprise as, get this, anger. So researchers continued the experiments, and they found that adolescents often misread emotional signals of other types as well. So fear, surprise, anger, it all gets misread. So if you give your teenager a look of surprise. And let's face it, how often does that happen in your life? You're always looking at your teen going, what did you just do? You know, kind of surprised at their action. Their brain, according to brain researchers, most likely or will have the tendency to process that look on your face as anger instead of surprise. Big difference. Brain scans also showed that when adults stated what emotion was being displayed, the portion of the brain that was active was, guess what? This amazing PFC, the prefrontal cortex. That was the portion of the brain that's processing and that's reasoning it out, right? They were able to look at the expressions presented in the pictures, and then though through their reasoning and perception that the prefrontal cortex provides for them, it helped them to come to the right conclusion. However, the brains of adolescents scanned completely differently. It was a different portion of the brain that was most active. Guess which portion? The amygdala. The amygdala is the home of this fear and anger, and it very quickly responds. This is, adults are able to control the response that happens in the amygdala by using their prefrontal cortex. But adolescents will use this very emotional portion without the benefit of the reasoning power of the prefrontal cortex. So it's completely different in the way it's processed in an adult brain and the way that it is processed in a child's brain or a teen's brain. So let me kind of give you an example, a simple example that might happen in real life in your household that will expand on this. So you go up to your child and you just make a simple statement like, can you clean your room? Or please take out the garbage. Because their brain's processing everything on emotional level, they could easily misread this as, you're a slob. Why isn't your room ever clean? Or I can have expressed, or, you know, I'm so angry with you because you never do your chores right. Because they're misreading. I mean, you open the child's door, you see a messy room, you have this look of surprise on your face, and you're like, can you clean your room? Simple statement. In an adult's brain, it's processed perfectly normally. But if that child, that teenager, is processing that look on your face as fear, as anger, as opposed to surprise, they're thinking, oh, they're mad at me, right? They think I'm a slob. They think I'm a horrible person. And all of a sudden, it becomes a very emotional response, right? So misreading the emotional expressions can really lead to a lot of problems in the household. It can lead to problems in the classroom. And as parents and educators, it is so important that we understand, and I don't know that all of the teachers out there have this information available to them and at their disposal, but it really helps you to be better equipped to deal with situations when they pop up, because we all know they will happen. Now, something else is that the amygdala is responsible for sensing danger. And this is a vital role for survival. I talked about it before in some of my other shows. You know, if you're walking down the street, it's dark, and you notice a dark figure walking towards you, the amygdala is automatically going to kick in gear. And it's going to tell you to move to at a very quick pace into a safe area. And then once you're in that safe area, your prefrontal cortex starts to engage and activates and reasons on, what do you do now? You know, so you either get somebody to escort you to your car, you make a phone call, whatever it is that you need to do. Now, if you find out the next morning by watching the morning news that in that very same parking lot that you were in the night before, there were cars broken into, so that dark figure that you noticed, that your amygdala, made you engage and move away from, it saved your life, could have saved your life, you know, or kept you out of danger. So the amygdala is there for a very important reason. It's very functional in our day-to-day life. But now think about things from the perspective, I should say, of an adolescent. So first, they have this tendency to misread emotion. Second, they respond with lightning fast emotional response because the amygdala is 80,000 times faster than the thinking brain. And then they don't have the prefrontal cortex completely wired and ready for use. So they have very little ability to reason. And the result is that the typical adolescent is going to tend to emotionally react incorrectly and without reason to different situations. And then you add to that the corpus callosum, the bridge that we talked about, having not being completely developed, they have a hard time expressing their feelings in words because the emotions on the right side of the brain are having a difficult time traveling across the one-lane bridge, if you will, over to the left side of the brain. So they don't really know why they just did what they did, and they themselves become very frustrated, possibly very angry. That causes frustration and anger on the parent side, and then you can oftentimes have, you know, a much more, heated situation takes place. So I want you to think, really, how does this information apply in your family? What's the situation with you, with your adolescence? Are you experiencing some of these things? Can you look back to some of the situations, maybe just within the last few weeks or the last couple of months, that you can now look back and connect, oh, that most likely happened because prefrontal cortex, amygdala, corpus callosum, it most likely happened because their brain isn't there. And how can I, in upcoming situations, when this type of a situation happens next, how can I utilize this information to handle it better, to control my emotions, and to become the prefrontal cortex for my child because theirs isn't ready yet? So it can have, like I said, this is all fascinating. I mean, it's really cool to me to think, oh, you know what? Adolescents are always misreading the emotional expressions of people. That makes a lot of sense. That's pretty cool information. But it's only this nonsense, really, if you're not going to take it and apply it into something that's functional in your life. So think about it. Maybe take a minute. We're going to go to our last break here in just a couple of seconds. Take a minute and write down some of the points right now, unless you're driving. Of course, don't do it then. You know, write down a few of the points or different things that have happened that perhaps you can pinpoint and say, oh, that was because of what was not taking place or not completely wired within their brain, and that's why they reacted that way. And how can I handle it different the next time to make things better? So get up, stretch, write a few things down, and join me after break on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show.
With her thorough understanding of brain chemistry, Julie Anderson provides you with tools and processes that will change your life in a positive way. Julie uniquely blends science and psychology when she shares her knowledge and information with businesses, entrepreneurs, women's groups, and families to improve workplace morale and productivity, parents creating dynamic relationships with their children, and women achieving more in life and business. Julie Anderson will be right back with Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network.
Years ago, some fishermen off the coast of Italy discovered some pottery along with fish in their nets. Divers were called out and discovered an ancient Roman ship whose galley, or caboose, a nautical term for kitchen, was extremely intact. Some of the food uncovered on board was pickled fish, wine, oil, and grain used to make the ship's biscuits, otherwise known as dandy funks. It is thought the 2,000-year-old boat was probably on its way to Spain when it sunk and was covered by layers of mud, baggy wrinkles and all. Baggy wrinkles are another name for the ship's ropes. The mud protected the ship from wear, explaining why the leftover food on board was still in such good condition. We land lovers may not be familiar with leftovers on the sea, but we are familiar with leftovers in our kitchen. It's marching. I'm Carolyn Davidson, and you can have fun challenging your words you never heard vocabulary with my free app, Too Funny for Words.
Congratulations on being the proud owner of an adorable, soft, cuddly, sweet-smelling, smiling, cooing, hungry, tired, gassy, screaming little bundle of joy. So now what? Where's the owner's manual for this thing? Where are my instructions? Right here. It's Baby and Toddler Instructions with Blythe Lipman on TogiNet.com. Infant care specialist Blythe Lippman has worked with babies for over 20 years and works extensively with new parents, providing workshops, in-home visits, tips, and daily phone calls to ease those frazzled nerves. With baby and toddler instructions, you can get the advice you need on how to survive and enjoy your baby's first year. For more information on Blythe and how she can help you, go to babyinstructions.com. From 32 ways to stop a baby from crying to 14 ways to get a baby to eat and so much more, it's Baby and Toddler Instructions with Blythe Lippman on TogiNet.com.
Welcome back to Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. By including the latest scientific research on the brain-personality connection, Julie Brain Lady Anderson provides her clients with the all-important why behind what people do and how they think. The information she shares will help those who hear to accelerate their success in life and business through the discovery of their natural gifts and maximizing their brain power. Here again is your host, Julie Anderson, with Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network.
All right. Welcome back to the last segment of the Brain Lady Speaks radio show. We have been discussing the teen brain and everything that's going on, or should I say not going on, in the teen brain and some of the applications of that information. And guess what we have not even touched on yet? We haven't even started to talk about the hormones, the effect that hormones have on the adolescent brain. And as if the massive changes going on in the brain of an adolescent wasn't hard enough, now you're going to add into the mix that very necessary but often fluctuating hormones. And the results can sometimes be quite volatile. Now, hormones affect the brain in many different ways, and they're necessary for life. But when they're rushing into the brain and body kind of wildly at different levels from day to day, it can really throw the brain and the body into a tizzy. And again, back to that good old PFC, these teens don't have any ideas. The adolescents really don't have any ideas what's going on. They just don't understand it. Now, there is a lot of information that I want to cover on hormones, a lot of implications of the maturing sexual brain as these hormones begin to become active in the brain of your teens. And I really want to be able to spend a good amount of time on it. So what we're going to do is we're going to be talking about the hormone effect on the teen brain and some of the effects of external things such as drugs and alcohol and the dangers of that on the teen brain next week. Because I want to wrap up, I want to give you some concrete stuff to do here as we close up the show in the last segment on this week's program, because I've given you a lot of information and there's some definite ways that you can apply it in your day-to-day life and your interaction with your teens just based on the brain structure and what's going on. And the next week, we're going to talk about the hormones effect on the adolescent brain and the effects of different things such as alcohol and drugs and even lack of sleep. It's amazing what's going on in the brain and what takes place at that point. So we're going to bump that to next week to make sure that we give adequate time to cover that information. But for now, I really want you to think about all of this stuff that's taking place in the not quite finished adolescent brain that we've talked about. And what can you do as a parent, or maybe even you're a teacher or a counselor? This might be a great recording for a teacher of a teen to listen to, because it's got powerful implication in a classroom setting and in a learning setting. And it's going to be even more so when we talk next week about hormones and sleep and what that does to the brain of a teenager. So it's if you have a friend, a family member who is a teacher, this might be great information for them to think about or to listen to and deal with when we're talking about the teen brain. So taking all this information into consideration, what can you do to help your teen? What are some action steps? Well, the first thing is I always tell my parent clients, act as the surrogate prefrontal cortex for your teen. Clearly, we know it's not up to speed. It's not doing what it's supposed to, but guess what? Yours does, or at least it should. So at times when there is that situation where you see what's going on, you understand what's happening in the brain, you need to jump up and tell yourself, okay, prefrontal cortex, get in gear, because I need to be the PFC for both my teen and for myself. Because when it comes to those reasoning activities and the consequences of one's actions, you may need to spell it out for them. Okay, you may really need to spell it out for them. So for example, how many times do you see this? I mean, we've seen it on sitcoms. We've seen it perhaps in your own life. When your child has, your teenager has wanted to go, say, to a party, or maybe they've wanted to take the car keys and go drive, you know, drive at a busy time of day or a bad time of day or too late in the day, too late in the evening, and you've told them no. And they respond emotionally because they don't have the reasoning portion of their brain going yet. And they say, well, you just don't trust me. Why don't you trust me? And oftentimes you might say, well, it's other people that I don't trust. You know, you don't want to make them feel bad. But no, bottom line is you don't trust them. You shouldn't trust them because their reasoning ability is not there. And their ability to see the consequences for their actions may not be there. That's one of the reasons why teens get in so many accidents, because they're not paying enough attention to what's going on around them. They're driving a little bit fast because they don't understand the consequences of their actions because the prefrontal cortex isn't there. So at that point, it takes you need to reason with them. You need to explain to them in simpler terms that their developing brain can understand the situation and what's going on. And another scenario to think about is, let's think about convincing them to do their schoolwork. It seems to be a very simple thing that sometimes is difficult to get a teen to do. As if they don't have enough schoolwork to do when they're at school during the day, they come home and they have all of this extra homework. So you might say something simply normally prior to this information. You might tend to want to say something like, if you don't do good in school, you know, your schoolwork's if you don't do good with your schoolwork, you know, you're not going to be able to go into college, and then you're not going to get a good paying job. You know, so you're painting all the negatives. So what's their brain going to automatically see? It's going to see anger. Instead, you can use that reasoning of your PFC to help them by staying positive. Ask them, what would you like to do as a career? You know, you're in high school, you've got your whole future ahead of you. What are you starting to think about as you're getting older, as you're maturing? What would you like to do as a career? Of course, allow them to express themselves without putting a lot of expression on your face if they say something that completely blows your mind. Because remember, if you act surprised, they're going to think you're angry, right? Then you can reason, you can use that information and reason for them. So you could respond with something like, oh, that's really interesting. So it's going to really help you to in that career if you ace this math class that you've got. You know, it's going to be easier for you to merge into that career if this course that you're doing is, if you do well in this particular course that you're taking. You haven't told them to do their homework. You haven't given them orders or things that they're, you know, they feel under pressure to. You've just simply reasoned for them, hey, you need to do your schoolwork because your schoolwork's going to help you get into the career that you want to get into. You haven't told them to do their homework, focus on their grades, or go study. You've walked them through that reasoning process to help them see the need to pay attention. Now, much better way to do it in a positive way that's going to help them to reach their goals. Okay, so that's the first key. Second key, be clear about your message that you want to convey to them. Remember, they're often going to misread that emotion. It's going to be hard for them to read the emotion behind what we say well. So you need to use wisdom and tact to deliver the message in a way or in a manner that's going to be clear and understandable to them. The responsibility is on your shoulders. You're the parent. Start the conversations off always with the positive emotional reinforcement that's going to set the right emotional tone from the beginning. You know I'm all about positivity if you listen to any of my shows. So if you might try something, for example, if you need to give counsel, you might, for example, try something like say, wow, I am so impressed with the way you're handling all of this schoolwork. You seem to have so much more to juggle than I did when I was your age. And really, that's true. You know, I do need to make sure, however, that you pay attention to your responsibilities here at home, such as, okay, be positive. Always start out on the positive. Be specific. Be specific about the expectations and rules. Avoid allowing assumptions to be made, because their assumptions aren't going to be that great. Without the prefrontal cortex being ready for action, they're going to have a hard time connecting the dots and reading the general statements. So if you use things like be nice to your brother, there's too much room for interpretation on that, right? You have to say something more specific, like there will be consequences for hitting or yelling. Now you've told them don't hit or yell. Instead of saying, you know, respect your sister's privacy, you might say something like, unless you ask first and she says okay, stay out of your sister's room and leave her telephone, tablet, or gadget alone. You see the difference? You've got to make it positive and you've got to be very specific. Okay. And lastly, engage your prefrontal cortex before responding. Often when frustration has reached its peak in dealing with the emotions of a child or an irrational adolescent, adults under stress are also going to have failed to use their prefrontal cortex. So it's important that you stop, take a few breaths, and think about all this information that I've just given you and what you've learned. And this is going to help you to formulate a response and guidelines that are going to be more understandable for their brains. All right. We are just about out of time. This information always goes so fast. And I am so excited. Again, thank you so much for being with me on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show. I have some amazing parenting products on the Brain Lady, or on the Your Best Mind Online website. So go to yourbestmindonline.com, check out the parenting site, and you'll see a lot of this information and some great workbooks that you can do. I also do one-on-one coaching, and consulting with families and parents. So reach out to me. Join me. Connect with me on social media, like I mentioned at the beginning of the show. Send me an email. Give me your feedback. info@brainladyspeaker.com or yourbestmindonline.com. Remember, we have so much power to direct, to mold, to help encourage, foster, and nurture the brains of our children, no matter what their age is. So take this information about the brain and just use it to have an amazing, strong, functional relationship with your children. And be sure to tune in next week. Listen last week for younger children. Listen next week when we're talking all about the hormones' effect on the brain during those teen years and what are some very positive things that you can do to, again, foster that beautiful child. Signing off for now, this is Julie Brain Lady Anderson. Thank you for spending their time with me on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Brain Lady Speaks with Julie Anderson. Julie Brain Lady Anderson is considered to be one of the nation's top experts on the brain-personality connection. She has been inspiring her audiences to fire up their brains and ignite positive.